Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Church. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our heart with the heart of God. Please join our hosts, Apostle Eddie Banks and Minister Tabika Garnes, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. A good morning, beloved. This is Apostle Etta Banks, the host on Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And we have as a guest host today, Deacon Thomas Farr. Good morning, sir. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Apostle Bishop. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. I certainly can. Thank you, Jesus. Truly, thank you.
Amen. 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 God is good.
Amen. 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 Yes, yes. So, beloved, this morning, Minister Tabika is working, and, I ask y'all to continue to keep her in prayer. She has to work every other weekend right now. She works at a pharmacy. And so during this crisis that we have going on, she has to work every other weekend. So we just want to keep her in prayer. And she sends her love. She hates missing out on the show. She sends her love. So I just wanted to be sure to let you know. And good morning to Joyce and Tamika. Good morning to you. Good morning, Prophetess Dorn. God bless you. God bless you. Good morning, Prophetess Kim, Isaiah, and Isaiah. Good morning to you guys. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. It is awesome to see you. Good morning to Teresa. Bless you, my love. Bless you. And all is well. All is well. To the Crawfords as well. God bless you. Good morning. Good morning. And Deacon Thomas, is there anyone that you'd like to greet this morning?
Amen, amen. You know, just my regular brothers out there, you know, this is It's Just Christian Men's Talk, and I thank you for taking time this morning and joining us. Again, if you called in on my number, if you called in on 646-668-2636, you can continue. Just press 1 on your keypad, bring into the conversation, share your insights, your wisdoms, or ask any questions as we move forward here. So just let everybody know everything is up and working, and praise God for another day, for another opportunity to speak into the hearts and minds of men, to encourage them, strengthen them to be fathers and husbands and leaders in the community, in the church, and in their homes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And heart to heart listeners, you know, I encourage you every week, you know, to listen to Issues Christian Men Talk, because just like Deacon Thomas Farr, it's encouraging men to be men of God in whatever role they walk in, whether it's a son, a brother, a husband, a father, you know, a grandfather, whatever role that they're walking in, even as an employee somewhere, to be a man of God and to represent the Father properly. And I always say that it is important that we know what it is as much as we can, you know, what they're being taught, so we can assist. We are a helpmeet, you know, so we can assist. There are things that we may have to change about ourselves in order for them to be successful in this walk. And so it's good to know. So I do encourage you to find out what's going on and encourage your mates, your brothers, your fathers to join the show. I do encourage you to do that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, Deacon, would you be so kind there to open us up in prayer?
Yes, amen, amen. Father, first of all, God, we just say thank you, Lord. Father, we come to you with hearts of gratitude today, oh God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing, God. We thank you for what you've done, Lord God. And we thank you for what you're going to do, oh God, even in the midst of what's going on, Lord God. Because nothing, oh God, to you is a surprise, oh God. Nothing, oh God, catches you unaware, Father. So we just say thank you right now, Lord. Father, today I just pray. I pray for those, oh God, who are struggling in sicknesses and illnesses, oh God. Father, I pray for those, oh God, who are comforting their loved ones, oh God, that they might have loved ones in the hospitals, oh God, in the ICUs, in intensive care units, in the nursing homes, God. We pray their comfort and that they would have peace in the midst of all this, Lord God. Father, we ask today, oh God, that you would, oh God, come, oh God, give an answer, oh God. Give an answer to prayers, that sincere prayers that are sent up to you, Lord God. Father, we say thank you again for just sending your son, Jesus Christ, oh God. For us as the believers, oh God, to have a firm foundation, oh God, that our faith is not shaken and never moved by the circumstances and the trials and tests of this world, oh God. So, Father, we just say thank you right now, God. Father, we can't do anything without you, oh God. Father, we surrender ourselves today to the call and the Holy Spirit that lives within us, oh God. Bring back to our remembrance those things, oh God, that you promised us, oh God. Bring back those things, the remembrance of those things, oh God, that you said about us, oh God, and through us and to us, oh God. Remember how we were used in the past and we can be used in the future, Lord God. So, Father, we just say thank you again, oh Lord God. Thank you, God. Because without you, we are nothing, Lord God. Father, continue to strengthen us. Continue to guide and direct us, oh God. Continue to speak into the hearts of your people, into your church, God. Father, today I lift up the unbeliever today. I lift up the ones on the fence, oh God, those that might be struggling in their faith, oh God. We lift them up to you, dear God, that today, oh God, would be a day of salvation. Remove doubt and fear, oh God. Strengthen them, oh God, to come to believe in you, oh God, and believe in your son, Jesus Christ, that his blood was shed for the remission of sins, oh God. Continue to use us. Continue to use me. Use the apostle, oh God, that we might speak life today and this morning, oh God, for someone who just might be on the edge, spiritually, emotionally, physically, God, that a word will be spoken that will encourage them to press on, oh God. Father, we ask, continue, God, that you touch our families, oh God, our children, those that we're connected with by spirit and by blood, oh God, and our grandchildren, God, those church members, oh God, the body of Christ worldwide, oh God, because this thing is touching us, oh God, as it's touching everywhere, God. So we pray now for the church, oh God, the church in a whole, oh God, that they would be salt and light in this time and in this season, God. And Father, we just say thank you again. Continue to use us, oh God, for the advancement of your kingdom, and that our lives will glorify you, that we'll be able to stand before you and hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, listen, Deacon, I want to thank you. I want to thank you so very much for sending that scripture to me this morning, for sending that scripture. It truly blessed my heart to read that. It gave me peace. Amen. It gave me some
Amen.
Peace this morning. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Oh, my goodness. You know, I just, what did I want to say? I just looked at something recently that was encouraging to me. And before I say anything about that, I wanted to know what was on your heart today. I looked at something that had to do with the seven attitudes, you know, that could help me, Lord God. Seven attitudes that could sabotage one's marriage, and then seven things to do to replace those seven attitudes. So I looked at that, and I was wondering, you know, what your thoughts may have been on something like that, And what did God give you today, if anything?
Amen, amen. That's the scripture I sent you this morning. It was Psalms 46:11. And I think that's mm-hmm. one of the things in a time like this, you know, that we have to yes. we have to trust God, that He is in mm-hmm. that He is in control, and that, you know, He's Lord. Well, let me give the scripture for those who are flipping through their Bibles real quick. It's Psalms 46:11. And it says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. And that means just mm-hmm. just know that God is with us. You know, this thing, you know, for some of us who are old enough to know, you know, we've come through some other things. You know, this generation, this mm-hmm. is a test for some of them. But for us who've been around saved and unsaved, we know that, you know, we've been through some things and we're on the other side of it. You know, this is unusual. That it's, you know, the way it's, they call it the pandemic, and it's all over, but yet, things like this happened before. things have gone through right. before. And we just have to understand mm-hmm. that God is, God is. Because, you know, I don't want to take people's faith for granted and underestimate how people believe. But remember, absent with the body is present with the Lord. And we at the church, we have to understand that this is an opportunity for us to share the truth gospel without all the other, I call it the icing. But this is time for us to give the cake of the gospel that people's souls and the assurance of their salvation can be in hand. Because, you know, even if you come through this, you know, there's reports of people getting the virus, testing positive, even going in the hospital, but yet recovering. So that tells us that this, you know, it's going to be a recovery. It's going to be, we're going to get on the other side of this, and God is in control. But again, are we as the church, are we using these opportunities to encourage one another? Because, you know, a faith tested, until your faith is tested, you don't know what your faith really is. It's just like anything else. But marriage, because unless love is tested, you don't know what love is. Everybody, I can tell you I love you until a test comes. So I see this in my own circumstance that this is the test of faith in the church. I pray that what the church is going to look like on the other side of this. You know, there's a lot of stuff going out here, a lot of, I call it crazy, but that's just me. I have issues. But on the other side of this, what is the body of Christ going to look like, and how are we going to deal with the after of this thing? Because, you know, there's going to be a vaccination. There's going to be some things. It's going to be, because we're going to move on. You know, people talk about 2020 is so bad, but 2021's coming. Then what are we going to do with that? I just want to say that. And continue to encourage folks that this is okay. It's going to be all right. But as a church, how is our evangelism going to be different? How are we going to share the gospel? Where are we going to have our focus when we can get back out again and engage the communities, those around us, those non-believers that, you know, we've been saved for years and we know folk who ain't coming to church, ain't going to church. So how are we going to deal with them differently? Because, you know, if they wasn't affected by, you know, the COVID-19, then I figure that's a stepping stone for me to step in. You know, God saved you for a reason. You didn't get a positive test, but God has a plan for your. I'm just saying that. I'm sorry. I don't want to go all the way in. However, Apostle, I'm going to go back to you because I don't want to go all hour. Amen. Amen.
That's all right. Amen. Amen. That's what you got. Well, you know, that is very true, all that you said. You know, even when I met with some of my leaders, on Tuesday, you know, meeting with them, you know, the main topic is what do we do when this is over? How do we approach, you know, the ministry and people, you know, coming out of this? And this crisis has truly caused people to fall to their knees, and I do believe that people are going to be looking to Christ more, and there will be some people that might fall away because they have lost loved ones during this time. So this is seriously a very spiritual checkup. It is a very serious checkup. I know one family that is in New Orleans or New Orleans, however you want to pronounce it, and on Resurrection Sunday, the mother and the father passed from the virus on the same day. And that had to be hard on their children. You know, it's hard when we lose anyone and then they lose both your parents on the same day. You know, so how do they hold on to their faith? How do people, you know, deal with what we're dealing with? In this crisis, you know, there are going to be marriages that get more solidified in this crisis, and there are going to be some that is on rocky ground. It's going to get real shaky. This is my point here, that the way we had our baby boomers back when we were born, there are probably going to be a lot of pregnancies that come forth because people are going to be spending more time with each other during this time than they've done in a long time. So I believe
it'll be Corona babies. Corona babies. What's it, 6 months? Let me do my math real quick. That's like December, November. All right. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
Yes, Lord. So the earth is being replenished right now, I believe.
There you go.
We're
That's
being
right.
replenished. Amen. Amen. So in this, you know, we know that mentioning, you know, what I had mentioned before about during this time, people that are spending time together that are married, it is a very crucial time for them. You know, just like Deacon said, your love is going to be tested, you know. Forgiveness is going to be tested, and you'll find out, you know, crises and circumstances such as this, trials and trials, this will expose your character. This will expose your character. You know, so to God be the glory. So I do pray, you know, for all of us that have to be shut in and that we are doing well. And God knows I am grateful. I am grateful for each and every one of us as we pray. New Vision has been praying every night since the beginning of March. We have been praying every night, and God has sustained us. He's held us up. But just like the scripture said, and I'm telling you, I love the scripture with such peace in my heart, that the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our refuge. Jesus is our refuge, folks, and we have to hang on to that. We have to hang on to that. What we know about the Lord and taking time to be in the Bible every day, reading and praying and so forth, this will only strengthen our faith to carry us through whatever it is we may come in touch with, whatever it is we have to deal with. So we have to give God the glory for it. Beloveds, I did mention, you know, the seven attitudes that could sabotage your marriage, and seven things to replace it for. So be sure to check your email as well, sir. Check your email.
Yes, I have it.
So you got it. Okay, all righty. So the first attitude we want to look at, a bad attitude, pride. No matter how flawed your spouse may be, so are you. The minute you start thinking that you're better than your spouse, you're headed for trouble. And I think we all can agree with that. And pride is better. And I don't think there's any one of us that's been in a marriage where we didn't at some point in time say, what is wrong with you? What's the matter? Now, maybe there's some, because we had an awesome couple on our show several weeks ago, and that was Lady Joyce and her husband. Lady Joyce, and I forgot her husband's name. The last name I know is Richardson. I forgot his first name right now. But they were just awesome, and the people have asked for them to come back. But, you know, at some point in time, you know, you ask yourself, what is wrong with them? Why don't they see this? Da-da-da-da-da. And you can get so full of pride thinking you're better than someone that you know better than the other person, and what is wrong with them? Why don't they get it? And so we can get full of pride, and pride is a very ugly thing. So in this, what we trade in for pride would be humility. An honest evaluation of you and your spouse will remedy the pride. Amen. It was Lester. Thank you. I kept thinking Leroy, and I knew it wasn't Leroy. It was Lester. Joyce and Lester. And so the pride is washed out with humility. We're imperfect humans, loved by God, with all the potential in the world. So look for opportunities to build your husband up, build your spouse up, and walk in humility, and you'll find yourself a lot happier in your marriage, you know, than you would if you operated from the point of pride, if you operated. And other people are going to like you better as well, you know, because nobody wants to be around somebody that's so full of themselves. Nobody wants to be around somebody like that. So what do you have to say, Deacon?
Amen, amen. You know, you're right. I'm glad you put that on the end there, because some of these things, I was looking over, you know, what you were saying, and some of this, we have to look at this too in our entire life, in our relationships, in our friendships, in our work relationships, in our relationships with our children. Some of these things apply across the board, because as believers, well, let me back up, because this, the things that we talk about, we have to understand, you have to believe, your foundation must be God. Your foundation must be Jesus Christ. Your foundation must be that you believe in Jesus Christ. You believe his word. And now, as you proclaim to be a Christian, now you're going to live out his word. And these are some of the things. Because I don't think this is not going to work in our flesh. Because, you know, I talk about it a lot with the brothers. You can betray yourself as anybody and anything for a while. But a lot of us are going to default to who we truly are. And that's where that whole marriage and planning the wedding and the romantic part of it is. That's all, I hate to say it, sometimes it's a facade because we're living out what we want to think, but that has nothing to do with the next 35, 40 years of marriage. So it's about, we have to have a foundation. Our first foundation must end his word and live a life obedient to him. Then we can start to change the thing inside of us. Because like you said, you know, to be honest, I know your wife is fine, your husband is beautiful, and he's handsome, he's the best man you ever known, but we are still impure, imperfect human beings capable of sin. And no matter what it is, and that pride is a sin. Because then we think of ourselves more highly than others. And when we do that to our spouses, it's a recipe for problems. I won't say disaster, but it's a recipe for problems. Because you're going to be, because pride says, I'm right. Do how I do it. Pride says, this is the way my mama done it. This is the way it's going to be done. Pride says, my mother and father, this is the way my mother ran my house. But, you know, you was raised without a father in your house. Okay? So you invited me, Bishop. Remember that. But, I mean, these are the things we have to look at when it comes to marriage. Because that's what pride does. Pride makes me want to feel, get it my way, and I want to do things to make me feel comfortable instead of, like you said, humility. In a marriage, we're working out compromise. You know, I talk to, you know, we talk about this a lot in men's groups, is we say, you know what? Your children will see you and your wife as how their house is run. You coming from the house that you grew up into, and your spouse is coming from the house you grew up into. But now you're trying to make your own thing. And if you the struggle is, I won't say copy, but you have to be mature enough to take the good stuff from both of your houses that you were raised in and bring it to make it your house now. That's why we talk about name changing and identity changing in marriage. But, you know, that's where it is, because now you're starting a new legacy, a new tree, a new, whatever, however you want to say it, but you and your spouse starting a new branch of the family. And now that's going to be the norm that your children are going to look back on. They're not going to look on back on are their grandparents on either side. That's not going to be their home life. The home life you're making in your marriage is going to be what your children see marriage is and moving forward and what they're going to take into their relationship. So if they see prideful behavior, they see, you know, the domination of either one, And then that's going to struggle. And for brothers out there, you know, your daughter sees how you is. Don't be surprised if that's the kind of guy she finds. You know, that could be good or bad. It depends on, you know, you got to be honest with yourself. If you was always compromising and submitting, and your wife was running the place, when your daughter come home with a weak looking guy, the one to ask yourself how come. And then you find your son gets a woman who's, why is she talking to my son like that? She's just telling, you know, but if that's all he saw, or how your wife talk to you, for the wives out there, how you talk to your husband in front of your kids. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, Bishop, back to you. I'm doing it again. I'm going back to you. What do you say?
That's all right. But you're telling the truth. You know, you are telling the truth. And people have to understand that our children mirror us. You know, they mirror us without thinking about it. You know, without thinking about it to begin with. There's just some things that they're going to pick up from us, and they're going to do it. And one day they go, oh, my God, I sound just like my mother. Oh, my God, that's my father. Yes, you know, and it'll hit them one day, you know, that they're doing and saying things just like their parents did, and it was not done on purpose. It just comes out of them because it's in them. So we must be very, very careful. Just let me tell you a quick thing here. Again, about a week or so ago, a member of our church sent me a video, and it was their 2-year-old daughter, and she was walking around talking and so forth, and they said, what are you doing? And she said that she was preaching. And they said, well, who are you preaching like? And she said, Apostle Banks. And she's 2 years old, and she got the mic, and she started talking and so forth. And it was amazing. Now, who knew? You know, these children at our church, they have their children's room. They're in there for studying and so forth. But there are times that she is in the sanctuary, and she is mimicking me and what I say and do. Now, I don't live with her. So I want to give you this example. I don't live with her. The baby sees me once a week. She sees me once a week, and she's picking up habits and traits of mine from seeing me once a week. What do you think she's doing when she sees her parents that she's with almost 24/7? You know, so picking up the attitudes that they have, and this is what the baby will display. And like I said, it's in you. So you have to, as we integrate God into our relationships, and we pray and we ask him to give us, you know, what it is and how it is that we're supposed to be as a couple, and you take the good things that you have from your marriage and work from there. Another attitude that will sabotage your marriage is ungratefulness. Ungratefulness, focusing on what your spouse does not have and overlooking all that he and she is doing well is extremely, extremely dangerous. Everyone wants to be appreciated, and an ungrateful attitude leaves stench in the air, an ungrateful attitude. You know, even in the Word of God, he spoke about a group of people, the Israelites, who went through some trouble because they were ungrateful. They didn't know how to be thankful for what it was that God had done. And to replace the ungratefulness, naturally, what you replace that with is gratitude. You know, count your blessings, appreciate everything that your spouse does. This helps to make the marriage, again, a happy marriage. When a spouse feels appreciated, they will normally bend over backwards to please you. So be thankful for the big and the small things, and time to tell your husband or your wife how thankful you are. I know in speaking with women, when I was doing my women's meeting, you know, I used to tell them, look, thank him when he takes the trash out. Thank him when he cleans up, does something in the yard. Thank him. Always, you know, show that you appreciate what it is that your husband has done. Because the more we show that we appreciate them, the more that they do for us. And because they love to be respected. They love to be appreciated. And so, and this works both ways. You know, a woman spends 3 hours in the kitchen. At least they used to. Nowadays it's shorter time. But they used to spend 3 hours in the kitchen cooking a meal. All right, Deacon. And
oh,
the man,
it's not
comes
my turn yet.
I know. I'm coming to you. The man comes and sits down and eats. He eats it in 5 minutes, gets up from the table, you know, doesn't say the meal was good, doesn't say anything about anything, isn't going to help with the kitchen. blah, 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 blah. And the woman is sitting there left feeling, you know, unappreciated, that there was no gratitude shown. So this is something that we both must do both ways. Gratitude, we must show that going back and forth. What do you say, Deacon?
No, man. I mean, I agree. It is. It's the little things. It's the little things. And again, this is about, again, and when it comes to marriage and couples, it's the things that you do behind doors is what's going to make and break your marriage, you know. And this gratitude and appreciating one another, not taking each other for granted, those are the things that, you know, that happens in the home. That happens when the two of you are together. And in the normal flow of life, you know, it could be as simple, like you said, taking the trash out, doing the dishes, who's cooking, appreciating someone that cooks, appreciating the person that does the chores around the house. I still struggle with this because my wife has to remind me, you know, help. I said, well, we had this conversation recently in the last couple of months. Tell me what you want me to do so I could do it, because I try to stay out of her way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah,
some stuff. If you want me, then, I said, just to tell me I can do it. I can do it. My mother trained me how to do stuff, but sometimes I just stay out of her way because, you know, that's her thing. But even in that, because I do have to take trash up. All the brothers out there, every man, apparently all families, every man has to take trash out. So you can't get away from that. I think that's like a manly passage, rite of passage, because every brother I talk to, their wife is about taking out the trash. I mean, I understand. But being gratitude, it is about gratitude and loving each other. And one of the things too, we have to, you know, and also it one of the things that it talks about here, I was looking over the paper, that it's how we also talk to others about our spouse.
Yeah.
What do we say to others about our spouse? That right there, mm-hmm. that's important. And I'm not talking about if you're going through issues and counseling and going to people, you know, or mentors or trying to get some help. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about mm-hmm. how we talk about it in our social gatherings or even at on our jobs, how we speak about our spouse. Because, you know, I've been in circumstances where people, you know, they say all kinds of crazy things about the woman they live with, the wife they have, but they say stupid things that don't make sense to me. Because I see it as the thing you say about your spouse, what does it say about you? Because you're with them. You know what I mean? I just went to public school. That's all I got. If you're talking bad about somebody that you're with, what does that say about you? But, I back up. You know, but we have to, even in the midst of, but see, that's where it goes back to, I say again, the test of love, the test of a relationship is when you're going through. How do you respond? Are you being showing gratitude for them, even in the midst? Are you, you know, and we talked about the pride. Are we able to humble ourselves about what we're going through? When you're going through, and you're going through some real issues, outside issues or inside issues. Because, you know, those first couple of years of marriage, there's a lot of inside stuff that you're trying to figure it out. And that's where I believe, you know, God, if the God is in the center, if you both are Christians, God is in the center. You can get past those things. And that, again, but on the other side of that, there's people who are non-believers who endure, seem like they endure more stuff than those who profess to be Christians. Because as you know, Apostle, that divorce rate and all that stuff, we're running neck and neck with the unbeliever. And that's a whole other discussion. But, you know, it's about that. It's about enduring. It's about being grateful and appreciate. Because it goes back to the romantic. Yeah, it was all romantic and loving, and you wanted to get married and had great plans and futures, and then life comes, and that's going to be your ultimate test. When life hits your romance, what you going to lean back on? What do you say, Apostle?
I say you're right. I say you are so, so right. You know, and anyone also that we're spending a lot of time with, at some point in time, they may do something to annoy us or cause irritation, and we can wear on one another. You know, that's some of the things that we're looking at that might happen during this time when people are not getting out as much as they used to. But whenever that happens, whenever someone annoys us, it's truly it's our choice on whether or not we let it get to us. We can choose to be irritated or not, or allowing ourselves to be annoyed is a sign of our immaturity at that point in time. You know, there should be a way that we can work around that. So yes, somebody may annoy you, but how do you receive it? How do you operate in it? And there are times when you, to make that better, you learn to laugh at some of the things that could annoy you. Try to enjoy the quirks and the nuances that you see in your spouse. And for the ones that you cannot enjoy, learn to accept or overlook them. And that depends, of course, on what it is. You know, there's some things we can overlook. There's some things that we can accept, because understand that they have got to accept some things about us. We have some quirks that will make your spouse, you know, get bent out of shape and so forth. So let's learn to accept the things. I remember there was a couple that had been married like for 50 or 60 years. And her husband would come home from work, and he would throw his hat in his chair and then go and do something else. And later on, he would come back, and he would sit down on his hat. And his wife was so upset about that. It irritated her to no bitter end. It would irritate her. And she would say, "Bob, please hang your hat up on the hat rack and don't sit on the hat." And he would say, "Okay, baby, okay." He would do it. Well, Bob kept doing it. He would forget to put it on the hat rack. It was just easier just to throw it in the chair when he walked through the door. And he didn't take it out of the chair. He would sit on it. Well, they had company one day, you know, and the company saw that, and he sat on the hat, and she didn't say anything. And the wife from the other couple said, "Why is he sitting on the hat?" And she said, "I don't know, but it's all right with me. It makes him happy." You know, so and that was the attitude she took eventually. He's fine, and it's not disturbing our life. It doesn't make the room look any dirtier, you know, nothing. Learn how to deal with some of the things that you think just annoy you. Not you think, you know they annoy you. Learn how to accept some of those things and be careful, because we too will annoy our spouse. Deacon, what do you think about that, sir?
Yes, you're right. It's the little things. You know, the Bible says about the little fox spoiling the vine. And sometimes we can't take little things that serious. We really don't. And I think that, again, that comes with endurance when it comes to marriage, when it comes to relationships. You know, it's little things. Because, you know, consider this. How much stuff did you put up with when y'all were dating?
Why
we can't carry that thing? Carry that same attitude for the next 50 years. How about that? Because, you know, the little things they've done, you know, the wife, the male, the female, they did little things. You saw this cute. You saw this. You thought it was cute then. And then the other part to that is, we get into relationship, apparently we get into a committed relationship, and now we want to change things about our spouse. That's where a lot of this annoyance and irritation comes from, because now you think they're supposed to be doing something because the ring, the marriage, the whatever. Now they're supposed to be different. And that's when the little stuff starts to bother you, but you thought it was cute before. And that's what we do.
Right.
Well, that goes all back into what was y'all doing dating? Y'all were just going out spending money, or was y'all really getting to know each other? But that's just But anyway, but you know, we need to trade that thing in, like you said, acceptance, not take it so serious, and accept our spouse for who they are. I mean, I think that's also in the broader sense of it, accept your spouse for who they are. And that goes back to you knowing who they are, and you accept and you're loving them for who they are. You're not loving them for who they could be, who you want them to be, or you have to love them right where they are and who they are. And, you know, because that's some of the things that we may struggle with in marriage, because we thinking they should be doing this? Because a lot of the things that I've experienced, and again talking to brothers and talking to men, you know, wives want to start changing guys. They want them to get different careers, and why you don't go do this, and why you don't be a manager, and why you don't, you know what I'm saying? Some of that stuff needs to eat away as a man, because in the position I'm at, you know, I'm content with the money I'm making, because we get ready to go now. Here we go. Because, you know, we talk about why you can't make more money. You know, that stuff wears on a man, his ego, his pride. And, yeah, you're telling him he's providing, he, what he provides for you ain't enough all of a sudden. I'm just saying, we have to think about this stuff, because this is what it is. And it's a little thing, and some of that can be a big thing. Because, again, you as his wife or you as a spouse, are we really content in accepting who they are and loving them right where they are? You know, because a lot of people get inspired by different seasons and time of their lives. But you can't push them to that thing to where the point where the y'all relationship with each other is deteriorating. And that's what you have to look out for. I mean, we can inspire each other. We can inspire each other to greatness. But let's define what greatness is. Because sometimes you could be inspiring that, you know, we get to a place, and I just use this as an example, about I want to bring this because we got a lot of young couples out here. I aspire that maybe we are content to the point where we don't have to send our children to daycare, all this stuff, where the mother can stay home. I know that's going to shock some people's sensibilities and how dare I, but whatever. You know, just be content for those years while the children are in school, because I've known couples. I've known brothers since they both graduated college. Matter of fact, I think the wife, she had a master's. He got a bachelor's, started working, and got married. But in those critical years of their child's life, the sister did not work. She did not work. She had a master's, and she had an education, because that was, we know. But I watched them as a couple, and until that kid got to a certain age, I think it was like middle school, almost high school, Then she went into the workforce, and it was a blessing on the other end, because they could, you know, then because the finances were different, because they were content with living with his income.
Right.
But then when she started working, that was real overflow. Not the overflow we want to. You know, I'm sorry, I'm going to church again. But that's real overflow, because they were content for years with his income. Now they could do things, and their life is, and as the children get older in college and all these other things. And she still, I mean, you know, most of us retire after 20, 25 years. I mean, come on. She was like in her late, early 30s. The children were at a certain age. She still got her retirement. So it's not like we're missing out on something. I think we're giving up a lot, trying to get to a place faster than we can that we sacrifice on the other end. Everyone has to just rationalize it for themselves. But we need to think upon these things. We really add couples and add marriage. But again, I'm sorry, we go back to acceptance and encouraging each other. And that's what we have to definitely do, that as a couple together with a common goal. It's you, your spouse, and it's you and your spouse against the world. That's what you said.
Amen. Amen. I definitely understand how important it is, you know, in those informative years, you know, for children. So it would be nice, you know, if women could do that. It would be nice. You know, the way of the world now, of course, you very seldom see that happen. You very seldom see that happen. But to God be the glory. It is something to aspire to. Folks, listen, you are listening right now to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. And we have with us today Deacon Thomas Farr, the host of Issues Christian Men Talk. And if any one of you desire to make a comment on some of the points that we spoke about today, we're speaking about things that could damage attitudes, that could damage or sabotage your marriage. If you would like to make a comment, please don't forget to press 1 keypad, and we will surely bring you into the conversation. So that choice is yours. The next attitude we want to look at is unforgiveness. This is a biggie. This is a biggie. Keeping a record of wrongdoing, holding grudges for what your spouse has done. None of it will do you a bit of good. There will be hurts in your marriage that take time for you to work through, but holding on to an offense is a choice that you make. I'm sure you've heard the saying, but it's true. Unforgiveness is like drinking poison and you're waiting for the other person to die. It is crucial. It is terrible. And in marriage, to me, is the place that you learn about true forgiveness, because you're dealing with someone now that you love and you love dearly. You're sharing your heart, your life with. You've trusted them with everything in your life. And then somehow or another, there's a disappointment here, something that has been done, you know, that causes you a lot of hurt, a lot of pain, and you cannot forgive the person. And you're sitting and putting it in their face all the time. Your whole attitude from there on about everything you do, you know, is based on the fact of this error that your partner made. And you are literally getting sick inside. You have belly aches and headaches and so forth, you know, because you're full of resentment and bitterness over what had happened. So you're dying inside. You know, your mate is trying to get along with you. You know, they've asked for forgiveness, or let's say they didn't ask for the forgiveness. And if they did, you know, you don't feel that they were remorseful enough. And so you plan on, making them pay for the revenge some kind of way, that they're going to feel the hurt that you felt. I mean, and the list goes on and on. Honey, unforgiveness will kill you. It will kill you. And the Lord tells us, you know, to forgive. That's the word of God, that we must forgive so that we can be forgiven. How dare we not forgive somebody and then go to God and ask him to forgive us for the things that we have done? So we must do the opposite of the unforgiving and forgive. Forgiving is choosing not to hold anything against your spouse. And it may not remove all of the hurt or all of the memories, but it means you will not bring it up. You won't hold it against your spouse anymore. And this is truly, truly, listen, this is absolutely necessary. I learned in the Word of God when it says that God forgives us, people say, you know, like, God forgives us, and then he throws the sin into the sea of forgetfulness. God forgets what it is that we've done. And the Word says he remembers it not. That's what the Word, he remembers it not. Listen, I looked that up, the remembering not, and it says here, the remembering part is not that he forgot it. To remember means to think about something and bring it up to the person and judge them with that. So somebody does something wrong, you bring it up to them, and you judge them on that thing. That's the remembering portion. So when it says that he remembers not, God will never recall an incident of something that we did and hold it against us. He will not. So he forgives us, and then he will not recall something we did wrong and hold it against us. And that's what comes in forgiveness. When we forgive, we don't turn around and wash the person's face with it every day. Your mate committed adultery. Okay, they committed the adultery. If you say you're going to forgive them and you're going to make your marriage work no matter what, you cannot throw that woman or that man up in your spouse's face every single day and think you're going to have a peaceful, happy marriage. Unforgiveness will kill you, and forgiveness is what we do to change that. We change our heart, and we're not changing a person. We change our heart about it and let God do what he has to do. What do you say on this, Elder, Deacon? What do you say? Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. I agree. I agree because, you know, forgiveness is about us. And it goes back to, again, are we believers in Jesus Christ? Do we live the word? Do we abide by his word? Do we abide by what Christ has taught? Are we living out the scripture? Are we living out forgiveness? You know, And it's about us. Forgiveness is about mm-hmm. us. It's not about them. It's not about if they were caught, if they confessed. It's about us. Once we know that they transgressed against us, just like we transgressed against God, we sinned against God, and yet he forgave us. And it's the same thing in our relationships, in our marriages, you know, because who are you? Are you a person? Mm-hmm. And do you understand the forgiveness? And do you have it in your heart? Is the Holy Spirit within you make it able for you to forgive your spouse? Because your relationship is going to go on. Your relationship can go on. Let me say it like that. You know, all the mm-hmm. things that we talk about, you know, because when you talk to couples, you talk to folks, well, there's certain things, but no. This is about the test of your love. Can you forgive them? Now, I understand, you know, habitual, keep repeating that kind of stuff. That's a whole other issue. That has to be dealt with. But that has to be dealt with. Now, if you'll be honest in your marriage and relationship, some things keep happening over and over again, you need to get some help. That's different than an episode, a circumstance. And now are you going to continue, like you say, to bring that thing up? Because remember, the enemy is the accuser of the brethren.
Yes.
So whose side are you on?
Yes.
Are you going to be the accuser of your spouse on every little mistake, failure, or whatever it is? Because, again, it's the little foxes. It's that little stuff behind closed doors that we pick at our spouse with. It's not the big stuff because, you know, adultery and blah. And the whole church know, and everybody, my family know, my grandmama know, your mother, everybody knows. But it's those little things that you pick at with your spouse that you have mm-hmm. to watch out for. And are you forgiving them? Because, again, it could be they just falling short. Again, we are imperfect, you know. And if we understand who our spouse is and who we are in this life and in this Christian walk, we're not going to get it all right. And, you know, there's going to be big things and it's going to be little things. So I think forgiveness and having unforgiveness is about us, who you are in your faith. Because, again, none of this stuff, unless you're a believer, what we're talking to you right now, it's not going to resonate. It's not going to stir your spirit because you're not of the Spirit. What we talk about when we talk about biblical marriage, biblical relationships. Because that's mm-hmm. it starts there. Are you a believer in Christ? Are you a believer in his word where he teaches about forgiveness and how we have to get to a place how we see our spouse and how we see other people too? Because like I said, a lot of this stuff translates over to our other relationships. So our brother, our siblings, our parents, we can go a whole other hour, but Apostle, I'm going to come back to you. But again, the forgiveness is about us. It's really about us and our relationship with God. And then everything else is the fruit of the root. What do you say, Apostle?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. That was good. I like that. The fruit of the root. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, you know, another area that we fall short in is the comparison trap. Oh, my God. Why can't you be like so-and-so? He does.
Okay, wait, how much time we got? Okay, go ahead.
Oh, Lord. You know, his wife said, he does this. I saw him do, why can't you be like him? You know, we have no idea what is going on behind those closed doors with those people, and what they show us out front in the public is one thing, and what may go on behind closed doors is something else, and you could seriously be deceived. So that comparison trap is a huge temptation for us to do that. So you must be very careful. It could be very harmful in the marriage. And you say, okay, well, how do I avoid that? You avoid that by embracing what you have. Recognize that this is the one person that you get to share the rest of your life with. And embrace that. The more you build up your spouse, the more likely they are to grow into something even greater. Identify yourself with your husband and wife and focus on the beauty of your uniqueness as a couple. Focus on that. You know, when we see a couple that looks beautiful and everything is all right and you say, boy, I wish I had a marriage like that, or how many times have we seen, and I'm coming from the woman's point of view, How many times have we seen a husband with someone else, you know, really just the cat's meow, everything is all right, and we look at the brother and say, do you have a brother? Because I want somebody just like you. You know, I want somebody just like you. Do you have a sister coming from the man? Do you have a sister? Because of the way you treat your husband and he's wonderful and blah, blah. Does that run in the family like that? Like, you got somebody I can meet? Let's not get into the The only place I'm seeing where we should compare ourselves is that God said he made us in his image. And so, therefore, we learn about his image throughout the word of God. And if we aren't living up to that image, that's where we should be judging ourselves, is living up to that image. You know, am I doing things the way that the Father says I should do? Am I treating my husband, my friend, my mother, my father, the way that they said? Let's not get into the thing of comparing one to the other. Deacon, what do you have to say about that?
Amen, amen. I'll say this. You know, we have to see people where they are, and as believers, we have to love them where they are, and we can't compare, even in our children. You know, if you have your children, you know, anybody who has children, any parent that they know, each of your children are separate personalities. So if you understand that, you understand what God deals with, because we are his children in the church as believers, and he knows our individual where we are. He doesn't compare us to each other. All he says, his standard he says is in his word and how we apply that word to us, our lives, and how we do it. So we have to see our spouse as I don't get it. Because you picked the person. You picked, there's no arranged marriages no more. So you picked this person. So why would you compare it, that your person that you picked and want to live with, to someone else that you don't really know? Again, marriages, relationships are behind the closed doors is what the value and what the value in the what it's worth. So why would you look at someone else's outward appearance and compare that to what you know who your spouse is? But then why are you doing that? Because you might want that person. You get that person behind closed doors, they do a whole nother twist on you, and you say, man, I should stay where I was. But again, that's another show. I got a lot of show ideas right now. But anyway, but you know, that is as simple as that. You don't know who people are, what they went through to get through. You know, we look at it. I'll share this. There was a time, you know, we was talking to a young couple, and I think it was one of my daughter's friends, and they said, because they've known us since we've been in the church, basically. And they were saying, you know, I never seen y'all do this. I never seen y'all do that. You know, I'm going to be like, yeah, I said, well, you don't know how we was in the 80s. So, you know what I mean? You don't know what it takes when we would get to where they are.
Yeah.
See, my wife heard that, and she came running in the room. But anyway, you know, you don't know how people got to, so you can't really say that, because it could be, because you're right, it takes work. So you get to a place, but you don't want to compare. You need to do the work in your house. Do the work in your house so others can see, you know, what they see, and you, so you know what's true. So when you're, because, again, there's going to be opportunity for our testimony, for our life experiences, that's going to share and encourage someone else. So that's what we have to be, do it work. I mean, you look on the outside, because, again, it goes back to, again, if you have mentors or people or couples that you're with that are feeding and you're encouraging one another in marriage, that's different. But then you could say, well, we're going through this, and someone who's been through that, financial difficulties. Even there's the other part, the cheating part, the stealing, the financial struggle, secret bank accounts, and all this stuff, dealing with children, how they were raised and how they disciplined their kids and how you was raised and wanted to discipline. All that can be worked out. But to compare and say, you know, their way is somehow better, find out what works for you. If you find out what's working for you, and the two of y'all in agreement and walking together in agreement, then that is what you want. You don't want to compare somebody else's thing, because that may not be, you know, how that, you know what I'm saying? I hope everyone's hearing what I'm saying. You can't, what has worked for them may not work for you. Find out what works for you, so don't compare what they're doing, because people do that too. They say, well, they doing this, maybe we should do that in our house. That may not work for your house, because the people in your house ain't the people in their house. It's as simple as that.
Right.
But the principle, I go back to the word of God. the principle of the Word of God is, are you in connection with God? Are you reading and studying His Word, looking to apply the Word to your life and your circumstance? And as a couple together, are you coming together in faith, knowing that Christ and God is in control and the Word, and now how we are shaping mold our marriage and our family based on our understanding of the Word. And again, having that wise counsel who can keep us on direction and path. You know what I'm saying? So
yes,
I think that comparison is very, we need to get out of that. And that again, this is the enemy. These are the things, and all the, and you know, I'm looking at this and just let me say this. This is the enemy trying to destroy marriage, period. And these are the little things that he keeps putting in our hearts and our minds, trying to break up, destroy marriage. Because, again, the marriage relationship between a man and a woman is a representation of Christ and his church. If you can mess that up for the unbeliever, for those who have not known, you know, this is what he's trying to do. Back to you, Apostle.
Amen. I remembered a line in a movie where a man was cheating on his wife, and his brothers, not his natural brothers, but the brotherhood, they got together and they were all talking and telling him, you know, that he was wrong, and he was pointing out all of the good that the mistress did. And so he ended up leaving his wife and living with the mistress. And he came back and talked to the guys and told them it was a big mistake. And one of the lines in the movie was the fact that you got 80% of a great thing at home and 20% of it isn't the way you want it. And then the mistress gives you that 20% that you are missing at home. So you end up leaving the 80% to go stay with somebody that only gave you 20%, and she can't give you the other 80% that you were getting from your wife. So where were you better off? Is it the 80% and learn how to accept and deal with the 20%, or do you want the 20% and now you got 80% that you're missing and you don't have? And I thought that was an extremely interesting, you know, point of view. And we get caught up in the comparison. I talked the other day with a man who was, his wife always compared her to their bishop, compared him rather to their bishop. Well, bishop said this, and bishop does that, and bishop da 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 da. You would have thought that she was married to the bishop. You know that.
Oh my! Oh my! I see. I'm trying to stay away from that, but you went. Okay, I'm with you there. Amen. Yes, Lord.
You end up making a man of God for the ministry. That's your spiritual husband now, okay? And you're trying to make your husband be like your bishop, and that poor thing. Mm. And the man is they're divorced now, and so forth. But that was something that really tormented him, and so he's got an attitude about dealing with bishops. Okay, he's got an attitude.
Yes, yes.
Go ahead. You can comment on that. You can go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh, no. You said it. That make it plain. That was it. You comparing the man. Please. let me say it like this. That is a perfect example in the body of Christ. That, you'd be surprised. I mean, Apostle, that happens a lot. And this is why we struggle with men in the church. This is why. Mm-hmm. That right there, I give that a 20-25% on why we struggle with men in the church, because of what wives say to their men about leadership and how they come off, especially if, you know, you might have been to the church first or got saved first or whatever. It's different between coming back and saying, well, that bishop preached about this today and this is what he was talking about, or then saying, you know, you should be more like the bishop because, you know, it's please. You know, and that there's a problem, because now you're comparing them again. You're comparing the man that you live with and commit to another man. You think comparing him spiritually to the bishop, who you don't even know who the bishop is and who the bishop went through and who ordained him bishop, but you want to compare your husband to this other man. It's as simple as that. Yeah. Your husband sees you comparing him to another man. Forget bishop. You compare me to this guy that you only spend 2 hours a week with. Me, maybe and don't. Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, I'm sorry. I did it again. Okay, I'm gonna breathe. I'm coming back. Yeah, see, my wife came back in the room again. I'm back. I'm just saying. At all levels, this is what happens, and this is how we start affecting people, how people feel when we do that, when that comparison. Mm-hmm. And it could be in anything. It could be, what, again, I want to bring it back, because it could be about how we, our children. We compare siblings mm-hmm. to siblings. We compare our yep. children to their cousins. We compare them yep. to the other kids in school. Your child, you know, compare them to the kids on honor roll. A lot of it. We have to be mindful and careful. And again, love those in your circle the way you want to be loved, and love them to encourage them. So it goes all the way around. And that's what family is. That's what family mm-hmm. is, and that's what the church is. We want to encourage mm-hmm. each other. We don't compare each other, but we want to encourage each other with how God's going to use them. Because, again, God's created us all different and created us all for a purpose. And in our marriages, as we talk today, encourage your marriage. Because your marriage, the more you sow into your marriage, the more your marriage will be. Because, again, the goal mm-hmm. here is to spend the rest of your lives together and spend it to the point where, you know, you love and care for each other, and that your love is growing deeper, and that you're setting examples for those around you and for your children and your children's children. So, you know, all this, we have to take and start to apply some of these things. I know we didn't get to all seven. I'm looking at the clock. It's up to you, Apostle, because I can keep going. But amen.
Amen. But we can go ahead and do the next two. Okay, we'll go ahead and do the next two. So I don't want to leave them hanging, even though normally, you know, I'd say, okay, we'll pick this up next week, but we'll just do the next two. So in dealing with comparison, you can't compare your mate to someone without having a critical spirit. You're being very critical of your husband or your spouse. And this, again, will tear the marriage down. And if you've seen other people do this, you know how unattractive it is. So we have to make a conscious choice as not to be critical. Criticizing your mate is bad enough when we do it in the home and we tear down their self-esteem and their ego, but then to do it publicly. And I've seen that happen so many times. I mean, to the point that people have called each other stupid. You know, how can you be so stupid? And this is in front of, you know, friends of yours and so forth. I've seen that done. Criticizing how they do something, whether, again, it's in private or whether it is in public. You can't do that and expect your marriage or any relationship to be a successful relationship. What you need to do is look for the good in that person. Look for the good. Choose to find things to compliment them for. Build them up. Appreciate. Magnify it. There is good if you look for it. It's there. It's there. Again, touching on what Deacon said, the fact that, remember, this was your choice. The man made a choice of asking you to marry him, and for the woman, you made the choice of saying yes. So this was your choice. And so when you criticize them, when you talk about your mates in a negative manner, you got to admit, this is what I chose. I chose this person. I said yes to this person, or I asked this person to marry me. This is what I chose. I had other options, but I chose this. So where are you in your relationship with God? What is it that you chose? What was it that made you choose somebody that you are now so critical of, that you're now comparing to everybody else? What made you do that? Where was your head, your heart, your mind? Where was your relationship with God? Well, where was it? Deacon, what do you say about this?
You know, I believe it, again, it goes, well, let me say this about being critical. If you're so critical about your spouse, how would you feel? How you feel about your spouse being critical with you? You know, mm-hmm. because sometimes it's easy to throw stuff at other folks. But what if they treated you the way you treat them? Mm. You know, if you were constantly berating them or being berated by them, let me say it like that, mm-hmm. you know, and that's what it goes back to, that critical. How can they be? You know, every little thing they do is wrong, or They're not doing it your way.
There's
a lot to it. But I think we just have to consider it. It's good. I think what it is when we talk about critical, and all the things we're talking about, if your spouse comes to you and tells you how they feel, how are you going to change your attitude? That's the other part of all of this. If your spouse came to you with, well, we only got to six. But if your spouse came to you with four of the six, now what are you going to do different? Because a lot of this is about us. A lot of it. Because it's easy for me. It's easy for me to take. I'm standing over here and I'm be the victim. And this is how my spouse do me. But if you want to stand on the other side, and you could be the aggressor. And this is how you're doing, but you can't see that. But then if they come and tell you, this is how I feel when you do such and such. Now, how are you going to change? And I think when we talk about the critical, you know, someone says to you, even in the midst of confrontation, you always criticize me. You always got something to say to me. Why we don't hear that?
Yes.
We don't hear that. We automatically defend. We go back and go, well, if you didn't do it, I wouldn't have nothing to say. Bang. Mm-hmm. Now we jump back to number one. We jump back to pride. Because you always right. I'm just saying.
Right.
But, you know, again, this comes with maturity. This comes with the process. This comes with growing together. And it all goes back to two things. The love, the unconditional love of your spouse, and our submission and our love for God. As Christian, I want to say that here to all those who listen, saved, unsaved. This is all about you as a Christian. If you confess Christ and the Word of God is true and the Holy Spirit is living, this is the change that we have. This is when we talk about renewed mind. This is what we're talking about, that you're not of what you used to be. This is the stuff. Even in marriage, if you wasn't saved when you got married, okay, you got married, then you should be a different spouse. As a Christian, from a non-Christian to a Christian husband, it should be a change. From a non-Christian wife to a Christian wife, it should be a change, an attitude, a transformation. This is what Scripture tells us. This is who we are. We can't be who we used to be and claim to be Christ and want to be a Christian couple, but we're still doing carnal stuff as a couple. We're still thinking about each other, treating each other how we used to, but, you know, just because we got an appointment on Sundays for 2 hours, if it ain't change behind closed. My thing with marriage is behind closed doors stuff.
Yeah,
because I can dress it up, and all these little things, especially this critical spirit. We have to put our heart and our minds and prayer to our marriage relationships to fix our marriage relationships. And this is I pray that even in this show we putting it out there, because if you had never heard it, or something was said today that made you think about what's going on in your house, that's God and giving you opportunity to repent and start to do different. So when we talk about these critical things, I mean, again, it's about us. It's about us and how we're treating our spouse and how we respond to our spouse. And do we want better? And I think that's the biggest thing. Do you want something different and better? And even, you know, like I say, in the border of all our relationships, we have to change for relationships to change. When it comes to, again, parents, children, whatever, workplace, all of these things relate to all areas of our lives. And if we want different, we got to start acting different and people respond to us different. What do you say, Apostle?
Amen. I agree, of course, 100% with that. And you made a statement in there that leads us right into number 7. And it's about selfishness. It is about selfishness. And selfishness is the root of most of our problems and one we all probably struggle with. If you look at the other six attitudes that we talked about on the negative side, if you look at that, we realize that those come from us wanting and needing and wanting our dreams to come true, our hopes, our needs, our wants is what we want. It's that's what we're doing. You know, I want him to be more like the bishop, and that's dealing with the critical spirit and the comparison trap. You don't forgive them because of the fact that they hurt your heart, they broke your heart. You know, You can be annoyed with what it is that they do. You don't show gratitude and so forth. All of this, you know, you're full of pride. All of this is dealing with self, what you want, what you believe is right for you, and so forth and so on. So selfishness in the marriage, that is a root for most of our issues. It's about me. It's all about me. Well, guess what, beloved? It's not all about you. You are not in this alone. Try putting your spouse's needs before yours. Serve your spouse with a sincere heart. Care about the things that concern him and her. And this doesn't mean you're going to be a doormat and neglect your own needs, but instead try to look for ways to bless your spouse with a secure and happy heart. It's pretty amazing how when you consider your spouse first, you usually find yourself more fulfilled as well. And this could be, this is, you know, the beauty of marriage. This is the beauty of marriage, that when we put ourselves, our spouse ahead of ourselves and serve them with that sincere heart. You know, the word tells us to do all that we do, do it as unto the Lord. And until you can do what you're doing to your mate, with a free, loving spirit, do it as unto the Lord. Serve him his dinner as if that was Jesus sitting at your table. You know, speak to him lovingly as if you were talking to Jesus. You know, do your clothes, his clothes, and so forth. And do these things as you, if it was Jesus you were doing it to. And you will see you're doing those things and doing it as unto the Lord. You doing that, that will even change his reception of what it is you're doing for him. And then he begins to respond to you differently, and then your heart is being transformed. I'm telling you, your heart is being transformed. So not only are you doing it now as unto the Lord and loving the Lord, you find yourself loving your mate and not being so selfish. So that was the seventh attitude, bad attitude, selfishness, and we need to be selflessness, selflessness. Deacon, what do you say about this, sir?
you hit it all, Pastor. You hit it all. I mean, selfishness is just, you know what it is to be selfish, and we all know what it is to be selfish. And again, we can identify it in others, but can we identify it in ourselves? And is that what we want? Is that what we want? Is that what we want to be known as? You know, we just think about it. We look at our children. We can easily tell our children they're being selfish when it comes to their toys or whatever it is. You know, so we again, it's about us. It's about us as husband and wife looking at ourselves and knowing if we have those selfish things about ourselves and changing, repenting, turning around. Doing better, and like you said, learning to consider others more than ourselves. It's again for the believer. This is who we are called to be. This is who we are called to do. And it, again, all ministry, all Christian walk, it all starts in our home and in our families. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, Deacon, I thank you so much for sharing this hour and almost a half with us, with our group here from Heart to Heart. Heart to Heart, I thank you for your patience as we shared all of these things. And none of you hung up, so that means that you were listening. Praise be unto God. And
amen, amen. We didn't lose nobody. Amen. I got a couple here. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we are so grateful for you spending this time with us. We both look forward to you being back here again next week at 9:00. Deacon will have his show, praise God. So we do thank you so much for the time that you have spent with us. Remember, it all depends on you and especially your relationship with God on how, whether it's your marriage, or your relationship with your children, your parents, whomever it is. If you have any of these seven negative attitudes that needs to be worked on, beloved, do so. Do so. It will only be for your good. It will be for your good, your family's good. So check yourself before we check everybody else. check yourself. Amen, amen. So with that, we've come to the end of our show today. Again, thank you so very much, Bishop. So you went from deacon to elder to bishop, okay? Far, praise God. Thank you so much,
Lord
God. I really appreciate you. I really appreciate you. So, folks, again, this
yes,
is Apostle
X. Apostle, thank you very much. And, you know, and I pray, again, I also pray that something was said today that would encourage someone, that someone could be able to encourage someone else. That, again, as I know you do your circle, but this is what it's about. Because as a church, we take what we learn and know, and we share it with someone else to help encourage them along the way. Because we know marriages, we know couples who may be struggling, you know, find a way to have that conversation to encourage them to press in. Pray, start with prayer, but just encourage them. And some of these things that we talked about, that, you know, you can overcome these things. Because we need marriage, we need families, children need steady and strong marriage relationships to be example in the culture, in the community, and in the church. So I just want to just pray that if something today was said that would resonate in the hearts of people, I mean, change them to think about and draw closer to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, saints. We'll see you again next week. Take care.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.